Lover's Last Breath. Chapter 1, The Woman in Red. The faint hum of jazz wrapped itself around Nate Harper as he nursed his bourbon in the corner of a dimly lit bar. The place, a time-worn gem tucked away in a forgotten corner of New Orleans, pulsed with an air of mystery. He came here often, sketchbook in hand, searching for inspiration in the smoke-filled haze and whispers of strangers. Tonight felt different, though. Tonight the air was electric. Then he saw her. She was draped in a scarlet dress that clung to her like sin, standing at the edge of the bar as if she were deciding whether to stay or vanish into the night. Her auburn hair spilled over her shoulders in waves, and her emerald eyes scanned the room with practiced detachment. Yet when her gaze met Nate's, there was a spark that felt deliberate. Nate wasn't the type to make the first move, but something about her drew him in, like the way a moth dances dangerously close to a flame. Before he could second-guess himself, she was walking toward him, her heels clicking softly against the worn floorboards. "Is this seat taken?" she asked, her voice smooth and rich with a hint of something darker. Nate gestured to the chair across from him. "Not at all." She sat gracefully, her every movement calculated but natural, and ordered a martini. Nate struggled to think of something clever to say but found himself tongue-tied. She didn't seem to mind the silence, instead studying him with an intensity that made him feel both seen and unsteady. "Do you always sketch in bars, or is tonight special?" she finally asked, nodding toward the sketchbook on the table. Nate chuckled nervously, flipping the cover closed. "I find people fascinating. This place is full of stories, you know." Her lips curved into a faint smile. "What story do you see in me?" He hesitated, unsure if honesty would be too bold. "Someone who doesn't belong here but came for a reason." She raised her glass, her smile widening. "Close. I came to forget." She paused, taking a slow sip. "But you're right, I don't belong." The weight of her words hung between them. Nate leaned in slightly, drawn to the crack in her otherwise flawless facade. "Forget what?" For the first time, her gaze faltered, dropping to the amber liquid in his glass. "A loss. My brother." She straightened, as if pulling herself out of the memory. "It doesn't matter." But it did matter, to her and now, inexplicably, to him. Nate's chest tightened. "I'm sorry," he said softly. "Don't be," she replied, her tone suddenly sharper. "It's not your fault." The conversation shifted after that, touching on lighter topics, art, music, the way the city seemed alive at night. Still, Nate couldn't shake the feeling that her grief was a storm just beneath the surface, and he wanted to weather it with her. As the night wore on, she finally stood, her movements deliberate and final. "Thank you, Nate," she said, her voice softer now. "For the company." He blinked, surprised. "You never told me your name." She turned, her emerald eyes locking with his. "Celeste." And just like that, she was gone, leaving the faint scent of jasmine and intrigue in her wake. Nate didn't know it yet, but that brief encounter would be the first thread in a web he couldn't escape. A journey into darkness that would test his very soul. Chapter 2, Whispers of Vengeance. Nate couldn't get Celeste out of his mind. Over the next few days, he replayed their brief encounter like a movie stuck on loop. Her voice, her enigmatic presence, the way her sadness seemed to radiate like heat. It all lingered, haunting him. He tried to distract himself with his art, sketching for hours in his small studio apartment, but every face he drew bore a striking resemblance to hers. It wasn't until the third evening that he saw her again. She was sitting alone at the same bar, her scarlet dress replaced with a fitted leather jacket and jeans. Her auburn hair was pulled back in a loose ponytail, and she sipped her drink with the same quiet intensity as before. Before he could talk himself out of it, Nate approached her table. "Didn't think I'd see you here again." Celeste looked up, surprised but not displeased. "Nate," she said, as if testing the sound of his name. "I could say the same about you." "Call it fate," he replied, flashing a tentative smile. "Or maybe I just like the jazz." She chuckled, the sound low and warm, and gestured for him to sit. "I hope you're not here to pry again." Nate held up his hands defensively. "I promise, no prying. Just conversation. Unless you want to talk." For a moment, her expression hardened, but then it softened again, as though she were deciding whether to let him in. "You wouldn't understand," she said finally. "Try me." Celeste leaned back in her chair, studying him. "Do you believe in justice, Nate?" The question caught him off guard. I'd like to think it exists, he said cautiously. Why? She took a slow sip of her drink, her eyes never leaving his. My brother, Ryan. He was killed a year ago. They said it was a gang-related incident. Wrong place, wrong time. Her lips twisted into a bitter smile. But they're lying. He was murdered. And no one cares enough to do anything about it. Nate's stomach tightened. That's awful. I'm so sorry. Celeste's gaze darkened. Don't apologize. It doesn't fix anything. The people who did it are still out there, living their lives while he's... Her voice cracked and she looked away, swallowing hard. He's gone. Nate didn't know what to say. His instinct was to comfort her, but something in her tone stopped him. This wasn't a wound she wanted soothed. It was a fire she wanted fueled. So what are you going to do? He asked quietly. Celeste's eyes flicked back to his, and for a moment, he saw a spark of something dangerous. I've been asking questions. Digging. Ryan didn't deserve what happened to him, and someone needs to pay for it. Her words hung heavy in the air. Nate shifted uncomfortably, unsure of what to say. He admired her determination, but the way she spoke made his pulse quicken. It was one thing to want justice, but this felt like something else entirely. You don't have to do this alone, he said before he could stop himself. Her eyes softened, and for a moment, she looked almost vulnerable. You don't know what you're offering, Nate. Maybe not, he admitted. But I can see how much this means to you. If I can help in any way, I will. Celeste studied him for a long moment, as if weighing the sincerity of his words. Finally, she nodded. Okay. But I need you to understand something. Once you're in, there's no going back. Nate felt a chill run down his spine, but he didn't back away. I understand. Celeste smiled faintly, though it didn't reach her eyes. We'll see. The night stretched on as she began to unravel the fragments of her brother's story. Nate listened intently, captivated not just by her words but by the passion and pain behind them. He didn't know what he was getting himself into, but one thing was certain. He was already in too deep. Chapter 3, The Rabbit Hole. Nate sat on the worn leather couch in Celeste's small apartment, his sketchbook forgotten on the coffee table. The space was sparse but neat, with shelves lined with books about psychology, law, and crime. On the wall above her desk was a corkboard filled with photos, news clippings, and hastily scribbled notes. It reminded him of the kind of setups he'd seen in crime thrillers, only this was real, and it belonged to her. Celeste stood by the corkboard, tracing a finger along a photograph of a young man. This is Ryan, she said softly. Nate leaned forward to get a better look. Ryan had a warm smile, his eyes radiating a kindness that felt at odds with the violent story she had told. He looks happy. He was, Celeste said, her voice tinged with emotion. He wanted to be a teacher. He was working two jobs to put himself through college. Nate felt a pang of sympathy. I'm sorry he didn't get the chance. Celeste's expression hardened. He didn't get the chance because Victor Kane took it from him. The name hung in the air like a blade poised to strike. Nate frowned. Victor Kane? Who's that? She pulled a grainy photo from the corkboard and handed it to him. The man in the image was sharply dressed, with cold eyes and a smug grin. He's a big-shot businessman in the city. On the surface, he's untouchable, philanthropist, entrepreneur, all-around golden boy. But underneath that, he's a monster. What makes you so sure he's connected to Ryan's death? Nate asked carefully. Ryan worked part-time at a nightclub, Celeste explained. He mentioned Kane once. Said the guy was into some shady deals, drugs, weapons, maybe even human trafficking. Ryan thought he'd overheard something he wasn't supposed to, and he was scared. A week later, he was dead. Nate's jaw tightened. And the police didn't follow up? They dismissed it as a gang-related drive-by, Celeste said bitterly. They didn't care. But I care, and I know Kane's responsible. I just need proof. She sat down next to Nate, her green eyes locking onto his. That's where you come in. Nate blinked, caught off guard. Oh me? What can I do? You're an artist, right? She said, her tone almost teasing. You know how to observe details, see things other people miss. I need someone I can trust to help me dig deeper, to go places I can't. He hesitated, the weight of her request pressing down on him. Celeste, this sounds dangerous. It is, she admitted, her voice dropping to a whisper. But I can't do it alone. And if you're willing to help me, I swear I'll find a way to make this right. Nate searched her face, torn between caution and the undeniable pull of her conviction. He could see the fire in her eyes, the fierce determination that bordered on obsession. Against his better judgment, he nodded. Okay, what's the plan? Her lips curved into a faint smile, but her expression remained serious. There's a man who works for Kane, a guy named Marco Hayes. He manages one of Kane's nightclubs, and I think he knows something about what happened to Ryan. Nate frowned. And what do you want to do? Talk to him, she said simply. Convince him to tell us what he knows. He could tell from her tone that convince might mean more than just asking nicely. And if he doesn't want to talk? Celeste's gaze turned cold. Then we make him. Nate swallowed hard, the weight of what he just agreed to sinking in. He was no stranger to conflict. Life as an artist had taught him to fight for his dreams, but this was different. This wasn't about passion or creativity. This was about stepping into a world he didn't understand. A world where danger lurked in every shadow. Okay, he said finally. When do we start? Celeste's smile returned, softer this time, almost grateful. Tomorrow night. I'll fill you in on the details. As Nate left her apartment later that evening, his mind raced with questions and doubts. What had he gotten himself into? Could he really trust Celeste? Or was he being pulled into something far darker than he realized? But even as the doubts gnawed at him, he couldn't deny the magnetic pull she had over him. Celeste was a mystery he was desperate to solve, a fire he couldn't help but be drawn to, even if it burned him in the end. Chapter 4, First Blood. The nightclub was alive with pulsing music and a crowd that blurred into a kaleidoscope of lights and shadows. Nate adjusted the collar of his jacket, nerves buzzing like static as he followed Celeste through the sea of bodies. She moved with purpose, her leather jacket and black jeans giving her the air of someone who belonged in this world. A predator among prey. There, Celeste said, her voice barely audible over the bass. She nodded toward the bar, where a man in his late 30s leaned casually against the counter, chatting with a bartender. Marco Hayes. He looked as slimy as Celeste had described, his greasy hair slicked back, his grin too wide to be trustworthy. What's the plan? Nate asked, his voice low. Celeste's emerald eyes met his, a flicker of determination in their depths. We corner him. I'll do the talking. Just back me up if things get complicated. Complicated. Nate repeated, but she was already weaving her way toward Marco. Nate hesitated, his heart pounding in his chest. He felt out of place in this setting, like a puzzle piece jammed into the wrong picture. But when he saw Celeste approach Marco with a sharp confidence that bordered on menace, he forced himself to follow. Marco Hayes? Celeste asked, her voice cutting through the noise. Marco glanced at her, his grin faltering. Who's asking? A friend of Ryan Vaughn, Celeste said, her words like a dagger. Marco's smile vanished entirely, replaced with a wary look. Don't know who that is. Celeste leaned in closer, her tone icy. I think you do. And I think you know what happened to him. Marco shifted uncomfortably, glancing around as if looking for an escape. Listen, lady, I don't know what you're talking about. Why don't you go back to whatever hole you crawled out of? Celeste's hand shot out, grabbing Marco's wrist with surprising strength. You're lying, she hissed. Ryan worked here. He knew things about Kane, things that got him killed. Now you're going to tell me what you know, or... Marco yanked his arm free, his expression twisting into one of annoyance. Or what? You think you can just waltz in here and make demands? You don't scare me. Before Nate could process what was happening, Marco pushed Celeste back, his movements quick and aggressive. Without thinking, Nate stepped forward, shoving Marco hard enough to send him stumbling into the bar. What the hell? Marco shouted, his voice drawing attention. Celeste seized the moment, grabbing a beer bottle from the counter and smashing it against the edge of the bar. The glass shattered, leaving her holding a jagged weapon. Start talking, Marco. Now. The bartender shouted something, but the words were drowned out by the music and the chaos unfolding. Marco's eyes darted from Celeste to Nate, then back again. You're crazy, he spat. Do you know who you're messing with? I don't care, Celeste said, her voice low and deadly. You have 5 seconds to tell me what you know about my brother, or I'll... Okay, okay. Marco raised his hands, his bravado crumbling. "Look, I don't know much, all right? But I heard Kane was pissed at Ryan. Said he was sticking his nose where it didn't belong. That's all I know, I swear." "Why?" Celeste demanded. "What did Ryan hear?"
"I don't know,"
Marco said, his voice cracking. "Something about a shipment, drugs or guns, I think. Kane thought Ryan was going to snitch." Celeste's hand trembled, the broken bottle glinting in the neon lights. Nate stepped closer, gently touching her arm. Celeste let it go. "We got what we came for." She stared at Marco for a long moment, her chest heaving with barely contained rage. Finally, she dropped the bottle and stepped back. "If I find out you're lying," she said coldly, "I'll be back." Marco muttered something under his breath and stumbled away, disappearing into the crowd. Nate grabbed Celeste's hand and pulled her toward the exit, his heart racing. Once they were outside, he turned to her, his voice tight with anger and fear. "What the hell was that, Celeste? You could have gotten us both killed." Celeste looked at him, her expression unreadable. "I told you it would be dangerous." "That was more than dangerous," Nate exclaimed. "You smashed a bottle like you were about to—"
"About to what, Nate?" she interrupted, her voice rising.
"Do what it takes to get answers? Because that's exactly what I'm going to do. And if you can't handle it, maybe you shouldn't be here." Her words hit him like a slap, and for a moment he considered walking away. But when he looked into her eyes, those eyes filled with pain and fire, he couldn't bring himself to leave.
"Let's just go," he said quietly.
Celeste nodded, her shoulders relaxing slightly.
"Thanks," she murmured,
"for backing me up in there." As they walked away from the nightclub, the weight of what had just happened settled heavily on Nate's chest. He had crossed a line tonight, a line he couldn't uncross. And yet he knew he wasn't done. Not with Celeste. Not with the truth. Not yet. Chapter 5. Deeper into the shadows. The ride back to Celeste's apartment was tense and silent. Nate's grip on the steering wheel tightened as he replayed the chaos at the nightclub in his mind. The image of Celeste wielding the broken bottle, her face a mask of fury and desperation, sent chills down his spine. He'd seen a side of her tonight that unsettled him. A side that felt like a glimpse into a storm far more dangerous than he'd anticipated. When they finally reached her building, Celeste slid out of the car without a word, and Nate followed reluctantly. Her apartment felt colder than before, as though the warmth of her earlier vulnerability had been extinguished by the violence they'd left behind. "I'll make coffee," Celeste said flatly, heading for the kitchen. Her voice was strained, distant, as though she was keeping something bottled inside. Nate sank into the couch, running a hand through his hair. "What's the plan now?" he asked, his tone sharper than he intended. "Because if tonight was any indication, you're going to get yourself killed. Or worse, both of us." Celeste set a mug down in front of him with a sharp clink. "If you're scared, Nate, you can leave."
"That's not what I'm saying," Nate said, exasperated.
I need to understand where this is going. What's the endgame here?"
"The endgame is Victor Kane," Celeste said, her voice cutting through the air like a blade.
"Marco confirmed what I already knew. Ryan stumbled onto something big, and Kane silenced him for it. Now it's my turn to make Kane pay."
"And how far are you willing to go?"
Nate pressed. "Because tonight—"
Tonight was too far.
Celeste's jaw tightened, and for a moment, he thought she might lash out. But then her shoulders slumped, and the fire in her eyes dimmed.
"You don't understand, Nate. Ryan was all I had. He was my anchor, my reason to keep going. When he died, they didn't just take him, they took a part of me, too. I can't let that go."
Her voice cracked on the last word, and Nate felt his anger dissolve into something softer. He reached out, placing a hand on hers.
"I get it, Celeste. I really do. But you're not invincible. You can't take down someone like Kane on your own."
"That's why I need you," she said, her voice barely above a whisper. The vulnerability in her tone twisted something deep in Nate's chest.
Against his better judgment, he nodded.
"Okay. But we need a better plan. No more smashing bottles and making threats. If we're going to do this, we need to be smart."
Celeste studied him for a long moment, then nodded.
"Agreed. We start with Marco's lead. He mentioned a shipment. Kane's business empire thrives on secrecy, but if we can expose him, if we can find proof of his crimes, it'll all come crashing down."
"And how do we do that?"
Nate asked.
"I know someone," Celeste said hesitantly. An old friend of Ryan's. He used to work security for one of Kane's warehouses. If anyone knows where the shipment is, it's him. Nate frowned. Can we trust him? We don't have a choice, Celeste replied. Meet me here tomorrow and we'll go together. The next evening, they found themselves outside a rundown diner on the edge of the city. Inside, a man sat alone at a booth, his head low as he sipped a cup of coffee. He was broad-shouldered, with a weathered face that suggested a hard life. His name's Sam, Celeste said as they approached. Let me do the talking. Sam looked up as they slid into the booth across from him. His eyes narrowed as he recognized Celeste. You shouldn't be here, he said gruffly. Do you have any idea who you're messing with? Kane, Celeste said bluntly. You worked for him. You know what he's into. I need information. Sam shook his head, his expression grim. I got out for a reason. Kane doesn't just play dirty. He makes sure there's no one left to talk about it. Ryan's dead because of him, Celeste said, her voice trembling with barely contained emotion. You owe him, Sam. You owe me. Sam sighed heavily, running a hand over his face. You don't get it, do you? Kane doesn't leave loose ends. If he finds out I talked to you. He won't find out, Celeste interrupted. We just need to know where the shipment is. That's it. For a long moment, Sam didn't say anything. Then, reluctantly, he pulled a crumpled piece of paper from his jacket and slid it across the table. There's a warehouse on the east side. Quiet place. They don't run security during the off hours. It's all automated. If you're smart, you won't go near it. Celeste's hand tightened around the paper. Thank you. Sam stood, throwing a few bills on the table. Don't thank me. And don't come looking for me again. As he walked away, Nate leaned toward Celeste. Do you trust him? No, she admitted. But it's all we've got. Nate stared at the paper in her hand, a sinking feeling settling in his gut. The deeper they went, the darker the path became. And yet, he couldn't turn back. Not now, not with Celeste so determined. Whatever lay ahead, he was in it with her. For better or worse. Chapter 6 Bonds of Fire. The night was cold and silent as Nate and Celeste stood outside the warehouse on the east side of the city. The sprawling, decrepit building loomed before them, its walls streaked with rust and grime. A chain-link fence surrounded the property, but as Sam had promised, there were no guards in sight. Only the faint hum of automated security cameras broke the stillness. This is insane, Nate whispered, his breath visible in the chilly air. What if there's more security inside? Celeste crouched beside him, her gaze fixed on the warehouse. We'll deal with it, she said, her voice steady. She pulled a small backpack off her shoulder and began rummaging through it, producing a flashlight, gloves, and a crowbar. Nate raised an eyebrow. What else do you have in there? A SWAT team. She smirked faintly, the first hint of humor he'd seen from her all evening. Just the essentials. As they moved closer to the fence, Celeste handed Nate a pair of gloves. Here. No fingerprints. He hesitated but took them, slipping them on. You've done this before, haven't you? She didn't answer, but the look she gave him was all the confirmation he needed. They scaled the fence quickly, landing softly on the other side. The warehouse loomed closer, its steel doors sealed shut. Celeste motioned for Nate to follow as she led them to a side entrance. Using the crowbar, she pried the door open with surprising ease. Remind me never to underestimate you, Nate muttered. Smart man, she replied, slipping inside. The interior of the warehouse was cavernous, filled with rows of crates and pallets stacked high. The air smelled of dust and oil, and the dim emergency lighting cast long eerie shadows. Celeste pulled out the flashlight, sweeping the beam across the space. We're looking for anything that ties this place to Kane, she said. Documents, labels, shipping manifests, anything. They split up, carefully searching the crates. Nate's hands trembled as he opened one, revealing rows of unmarked packages. The weight of what they were doing pressed down on him like a physical force. Every sound, a creak, a thud, made his heart race. Over here, Celeste called softly. Nate hurried to her side, where she was kneeling beside a crate. Inside were weapons, rows of rifles, handguns, and ammunition neatly packed and ready for transport. Her flashlight caught a shipping label on the side of the crate. Kane Enterprises, Nate read aloud. That's it. That's the proof we need. Celeste nodded, her jaw tight. Take a picture. We need to document this. Nate pulled out his phone, snapping several photos of the label and the contents of the crate. What now? We keep looking, Celeste said. If this is here, there's more. They moved deeper into the warehouse, uncovering more crates filled with weapons, as well as boxes labeled with vague descriptions like electronics and medical supplies, but it was clear what they were looking at. An illegal operation hidden in plain sight. As they turned a corner, Celeste suddenly froze, her flashlight beam landing on a stack of crates near the far wall. One of the crates was slightly ajar, its lid askew. That's not right, she said, her voice low. Before Nate could respond, a loud metallic clatter echoed through the warehouse. They spun around, and Nate's blood ran cold as he saw a figure silhouetted against the emergency lights. Who the hell are you? A gruff voice demanded. It was a security guard, his hand resting on the holster of a gun at his hip. Nate felt panic rise in his chest as Celeste stepped forward, her hands raised. We're just lost, she said, her voice calm and measured. We didn't mean to. Save it, the guard growled, pulling his gun. You've got about 5 seconds to explain what you're doing here before I call the cops. Nate's mind raced and he took a step forward. We're journalists, he blurted out. Investigating a story. We have reason to believe this warehouse is tied to illegal activity. The guard snorted. Yeah, sure you are. Hands where I can see them. Celeste shot Nate a look, her eyes filled with a mix of frustration and determination. Before the guard could react, she lunged forward, knocking the gun from his hand. The weapon clattered to the floor, and Celeste delivered a swift kick to his knee, sending him to the ground. Celeste! Nate shouted, but she was already grabbing the crowbar from her bag. The guard scrambled backward, his eyes wide with fear. You're insane! Celeste raised the crowbar, her expression cold. Tell me, does Kane know we're here? The guard shook his head frantically. No, I swear no one knows. She hesitated, the crowbar hovering in the air. Nate rushed forward, grabbing her arm. Celeste, stop. He's down. We need to go. For a moment, he thought she wouldn't listen. But then she lowered the crowbar, her breathing ragged. Fine, she said through clenched teeth. She grabbed the guard's radio and tossed it across the room, shattering it against the floor. Let's go, she said, pulling Nate toward the exit. They fled the warehouse, their footsteps echoing in the vast space. As they scaled the fence and disappeared into the night, Nate couldn't shake the image of Celeste standing over the guard, her face twisted with anger. Back in the car, the silence between them was deafening. Nate finally broke it. You didn't have to do that. Celeste stared straight ahead, her knuckles white on the steering wheel. If I didn't, he would have called Kane. And we'd both be dead. Nate sighed, leaning back in his seat. He couldn't argue with her logic, but the ruthless side of her he'd seen tonight unnerved him. He was in too deep now, and he wasn't sure if he could pull her, or himself, out of the darkness. Chapter 7, The Predator's Lair. The sun was just beginning to rise as they pulled up outside Celeste's apartment, their faces pale and drawn from the events at the warehouse. The tension between them was palpable. An invisible wall neither seemed ready to break. Nate followed her upstairs, his mind a whirlwind of questions and unease. He couldn't ignore the image of her standing over the guard, ready to strike. The cold determination in her eyes haunted him. Inside the apartment, Celeste tossed her bag onto the couch and sank into a chair, her head in her hands. For a moment, neither of them spoke. The silence was deafening. You didn't have to scare him like that, Nate said finally, his voice low but firm. He wasn't going to hurt us. Celeste lifted her head, her emerald eyes blazing. You don't know that. These people aren't like you, Nate. They don't hesitate. They don't care. If we'd given him a chance, he'd have called Kane and we'd be dead. Maybe, Nate said, crossing his arms. But that doesn't mean you have to become like them. Her lips tightened, and for a moment she didn't respond. Then she stood abruptly, pacing the room. You don't get it. This isn't just about me. It's about Ryan. It's about making sure no one else gets hurt the way he did. I do get it, Nate said, his voice rising. But at what cost, Celeste? How far are you willing to go? As far as it takes, she shot back, her voice sharp and unyielding. If you can't handle that, maybe you shouldn't be here. Nate felt the sting of her words, but he didn't back down. You think I'm not scared? That I don't question every single thing we're doing? I'm here because I care about you, Celeste. But I'm not going to stand by and watch you destroy yourself. Her expression softened slightly, but the fire in her eyes remained. You care about me? She asked quietly. Yes, Nate said without hesitation. But I can't do this if you keep shutting me out. We're supposed to be a team, not... whatever this is. Celeste stared at him for a long moment, the tension in her posture slowly easing. You're right, she said finally, her voice barely above a whisper. I've been so focused on the end goal. I've forgotten what it's costing me. I'm sorry. Nate nodded, the tightness in his chest loosening. We'll figure this out. Together. She gave him a faint smile, and for the first time in days, he felt a flicker of hope. The next day, they pored over the photos from the warehouse, piecing together the threads of Kane's operation. The crates, the labels, the weapons, it was a sprawling network larger than either of them had anticipated. But one detail stood out. A shipping manifest tucked inside one of the crates. It listed several upcoming deliveries, including one to a location Nate didn't recognize. What's this? He asked, pointing to the address. Celeste leaned over his shoulder, her brow furrowing. That's not one of Kane's usual spots. It's too public. Could it be a front? Nate suggested. Maybe, Celeste said thoughtfully. Or a trap. Nate hesitated. Do we really want to take that risk? Celeste straightened, her eyes narrowing with determination. If there's a chance this could lead us to Kane, it's worth it. Then we need a plan, Nate said. A real plan. No more improvising. Celeste nodded. Agreed. We'll need disguises, a way to get in and out without being noticed. And if things go south, her voice trailed off and she didn't need to finish the sentence. The address turned out to be a high-end office building downtown. An unlikely location for illegal activity. Nate and Celeste arrived dressed as maintenance workers, their uniforms borrowed from a friend of Celeste's who owed her a favor. Nate's nerves were frayed as they entered the lobby, their forged IDs clipped to their shirts. Act natural, Celeste whispered, her voice calm and steady. Nate envied her composure. His palms were sweaty, and his heart pounded in his chest as they approached the security desk. The guard barely glanced at their IDs before waving them through, and Nate let out a shaky breath as they stepped into the elevator. Second floor, Celeste said, pressing the button. The ride up felt agonizingly slow. Each ding of the elevator a reminder of how quickly things could go wrong. When the doors finally opened, they found themselves in a corridor lined with offices. The address from the manifest led them to a door marked, Consulting Services. This has to be it, Celeste murmured. She pulled a lockpicking tool from her pocket and knelt by the door, working quickly. Within seconds, the lock clicked open, and they slipped inside. The office was unremarkable at first glance, with a desk, filing cabinets, and a few chairs. But as Celeste moved to the back, she found a hidden door disguised as part of the wall. She pressed her ear against it, then gave Nate a nod. Help me open this, she whispered. They pried the door open, revealing a hidden room filled with shelves of documents and computer equipment. Celeste's eyes widened as she scanned the files. This is it, she said, her voice trembling with excitement. This is what we need. Nate pulled out his phone, taking pictures of everything while Celeste rifled through the files. She paused, her hand trembling as she held up a folder. This is the shipment schedule, she said. It lists all of Kane's major operations. If we can get this to the authorities. A sudden noise made them both freeze. The sound of footsteps echoed in the corridor outside, growing louder with each passing second. Someone's coming, Nate whispered, his voice tight with panic. Celeste shoved the folder into her bag and grabbed his arm. Out the back, she hissed, motioning toward a second exit. They slipped out just as the office door opened, ducking into a stairwell. The adrenaline coursing through Nate's veins was almost unbearable as they descended the stairs, every step feeling like an eternity. When they finally emerged onto the street, the cool night air hit them like a wave. We did it, Celeste said, her voice a mixture of relief and exhilaration. Nate nodded, his chest heaving as he tried to catch his breath. Yeah, we did. But even as they walked away, the weight of what they'd just uncovered pressed heavily on him. They had the evidence they needed, but exposing Kane meant painting a target on their backs. and Nate couldn't shake the feeling that the worst was yet to come. Chapter 8, Collision Course. The evidence Celeste and Nate had stolen from Kane's hidden office was damning. The shipment schedules, financial records, and encrypted communications detailed a web of corruption that spanned cities. Arms deals, narcotics, and even connections to trafficking, it was more extensive than either of them had imagined. But with this evidence came a grim realization. They were no longer just two people seeking justice. They were now targets. Back in Celeste's apartment, they spread the documents across the table. The room was bathed in the dim light of a single desk lamp, casting long shadows that mirrored the darkness they were uncovering. Nate flipped through the pages, the weight of their discovery pressing on him like a lead weight. "This is enough to bury him," Nate said, his voice barely above a whisper. "If we can get it to the right people." "And that's the problem," Celeste replied, pacing the room. "Who can we trust? Kane's reach is everywhere. The police? The DA's office? For all we know, they're in his pocket." Nate ran a hand through his hair, his frustration mounting. "Then what's the plan? Sit on this and wait for him to find us?" "No," Celeste said sharply, stopping to face him. "We go public. Leak this to the media. Kane thrives in the shadows, but if we drag him into the light, he'll come after us," Nate finished, the reality sinking in. "He won't let this go." Celeste nodded, her green eyes burning with determination. "That's why we have to be smart. No more mistakes. We need a controlled leak, something that exposes enough to start an investigation but keeps us off the radar." Nate sighed, leaning back in his chair. "Do you even hear yourself? Off the radar?" "Celeste, we're in way over our heads." "Then leave," she said, her tone icy. "If you can't handle this, I'll do it alone." Her words cut deep, and Nate stood abruptly, anger flaring. "Stop doing that. Stop pushing me away every time things get hard. I'm here, aren't I? I've been here since the start, risking everything for you." Celeste's expression softened, her shoulders slumping. "I know," she said quietly. "I'm sorry. It's just, this is the closest I've ever been to justice for Ryan, and it terrifies me." Her vulnerability diffused Nate's anger, and he stepped closer, placing a hand on her arm. "We'll figure it out. Together. But you need to let me in." She nodded, her eyes glistening with unshed tears. "Okay. Together." The following evening, they met with a journalist Celeste had contacted anonymously, a woman named Erin Hayes. Erin had a reputation for taking on dangerous stories, and her exposés had brought down corrupt officials and powerful corporations alike. If anyone could handle the magnitude of what they had uncovered, it was her. They arranged to meet in a quiet park after dark, the location chosen for its seclusion. Nate and Celeste arrived early, their nerves on edge as they scanned the empty paths and shadowed benches. When Erin finally appeared, a petite woman with sharp eyes and an air of confidence, Celeste wasted no time. "We have proof," she said, handing Erin a flash drive. "Everything you need to expose Victor Kane." Erin raised an eyebrow as she pocketed the drive. "I'll look through it. But if this is as explosive as you're saying, you've painted a target on your backs." "We know," Nate said grimly. "We just want him stopped." Erin nodded, her gaze serious. "I'll do my part. But you need to be careful. Men like Kane don't go down without a fight." As Erin walked away, Celeste exhaled slowly, her tension momentarily easing. "It's done. For now," Nate said, glancing around the park. "But this doesn't feel over." Their instincts proved correct. Two nights later, as they sat in Celeste's apartment, a sudden sound shattered the quiet. A car screeching to a halt outside, followed by hurried footsteps. Nate moved to the window, his stomach sinking as he saw three men approaching the building, their movements deliberate. "Celeste," he hissed, backing away. "We've got company." Celeste's expression hardened. She grabbed a pistol from the desk drawer, checking the chamber with practiced ease. "Get to the back," she ordered. "I'm not leaving you," Nate protested, but her fierce glare silenced him. "This isn't up for debate, Nate. Go." Reluctantly, he retreated to the small storage room at the back of the apartment, his heart pounding. Through the crack in the door, he watched as Celeste positioned herself near the entrance, her pistol aimed at the door. The knock was loud and deliberate, the kind that didn't ask for permission. "Open up, Miss Vaughn," a voice called. We just want to talk. Celeste didn't respond. She waited, her finger hovering over the trigger. When the door burst open, the first man barely had time to react before Celeste fired. He dropped with a pained grunt and chaos erupted. The other two men charged in, one firing a gun of his own. Celeste ducked behind the couch, returning fire as the room filled with the deafening roar of gunshots. Nate's instinct to hide warred with his need to help her. Grabbing a metal pole leaning against the wall, he waited for one of the attackers to pass by. When the second man rounded the corner, Nate swung with all his strength, the pole connecting with a sickening thud. The man crumpled, his gun skittering across the floor. Celeste took advantage of the distraction, firing at the last man and dropping him. The room fell silent, save for the sound of their ragged breathing. "You okay?" Celeste asked, her voice hoarse. Nate nodded, his hands trembling as he dropped the pole. "What the hell was that?" "Kane's warning," Celeste said grimly. "He knows." As they surveyed the aftermath, the weight of their situation settled heavily on them. There was no turning back now. Kane was coming for them, and they had to be ready for whatever came next. For better or worse, their collision course with Victor Kane was set, and there was no escaping the storm. Chapter 9: Shattered Illusions. The aftermath of the attack left the apartment in chaos. Bullet holes marred the walls, shattered glass glittered on the floor, and the acrid scent of gunpowder lingered in the air. Nate stood in the middle of it all, his mind struggling to process what had just happened. Three men lay motionless on the floor, their lifeless eyes a haunting reminder of how far they'd fallen into the abyss. "We can't stay here," Celeste said, her voice steady but strained. She crouched beside the nearest body, frisking the man for anything useful. "Kane won't stop with this. He'll send more." Nate swallowed hard, forcing himself to look away from the bodies. "And go where? We can't outrun him forever." Celeste pulled a phone from the man's pocket and stood. "We're not running, but we need to regroup somewhere safe. I have a place." "Another safe house?" Nate asked, his voice etched with disbelief. "How many do you have?" "Enough," she said curtly, tucking the phone into her pocket. "Grab whatever you can carry. We need to leave now." Nate hesitated, his eyes locking onto hers. "Celeste, is this really about Ryan anymore? Or is it about something else?" Her expression faltered, a flicker of guilt passing through her eyes before she looked away. "This is about justice, Nate. For Ryan. For everyone Kane's hurt." "Then why does it feel like it's about revenge?" he pressed, his voice rising. "You don't even flinch anymore, Celeste. You just react." She spun toward him, her face a mask of frustration and pain. "Do you think I wanted this? Any of it? I didn't ask to become this person, Nate. But Kane took everything from me. He made me this. And now you're doing the same thing," Nate said, his voice soft but firm. "You're taking everything from me." The words hung in the air like a blade poised to strike. For a moment, Celeste said nothing, her jaw tightening as she wrestled with her emotions. Finally, she exhaled, her shoulders sagging. "If you want out, I won't stop you. But I can't stop now. Not when we're this close." Nate wanted to argue, to tell her she was wrong. But deep down, he knew she wouldn't listen. She was too far gone, consumed by her mission. And as much as he hated it, he couldn't bring himself to leave her. "Not yet. Let's go," he said finally, grabbing his bag from the couch. "Before more of them show up." The safe house was a small cabin tucked away in the woods, miles from the city. It was stark and isolated, with only the barest of necessities. A bed, a table, and a few chairs. Celeste lit a lantern, the warm glow casting long shadows on the wooden walls. Nate dropped his bag by the door and sank into a chair, his exhaustion catching up with him. "How long do we stay here?" "Long enough to plan our next move," Celeste said, setting the stolen phone on the table. "This might have something useful." She powered it on, scrolling through the contacts and messages. "Do you ever stop?" Nate asked, his tone tinged with irritation. "Maybe take a second to process everything that just happened?" Celeste didn't look up. "Processing doesn't stop Kane. Neither does running yourself into the ground," Nate snapped. "You're not a machine, Celeste. You can't keep doing this without breaking." Her hands stilled, and she looked at him, her eyes weary but defiant. "If I stop even for a second, I'll fall apart. Is that what you want, Nate?" to see me break down. No, he said softly. I just want to see you. The real you. Not this version of you that Kane created. Her lips pressed into a thin line, and she turned back to the phone. The real me died with Ryan, she said quietly. The words cut deep, and Nate didn't know how to respond. He watched her for a moment longer before standing and heading for the door. I need some air. Outside, the cool night air did little to calm his racing thoughts. He leaned against the porch railing, staring out at the dark forest. He felt like a man caught in a storm with no idea which way to go. Every step forward seemed to drag him deeper into Celeste's world. A world that was consuming them both. A sound behind him made him turn. Celeste stood in the doorway, her expression softer than before. I found something, she said, holding up the phone. What is it? He asked, straightening. A message, she said, stepping closer. From Kane's lieutenant. It's about another shipment. A big one. Tomorrow night. Nate's stomach tightened. You're not seriously thinking of going, are you? It's our best chance, Celeste said, her voice firm. If we can intercept this shipment, we can cripple Kane's operation. And if it's a trap? Nate asked. What then? She hesitated, her confidence wavering for the first time. We'll figure it out. Nate shook his head, frustration bubbling to the surface. That's not good enough, Celeste. We need a plan. A real plan. She reached out, her hand brushing against his. I can't do this without you, Nate. The vulnerability in her voice caught him off guard, and he sighed, his anger dissipating. Fine. But this is the last time. After this, we're done. Celeste nodded, her eyes glistening. After this, it's over. But even as she said the words, Nate couldn't shake the feeling that the end they were hurtling toward wouldn't be the one they hoped for. Chapter 10. Lover's Last Breath. The warehouse where the shipment was scheduled to arrive loomed on the edge of the city, isolated and shadowed beneath a canopy of overcast skies. Nate and Celeste crouched in the brush nearby, their breaths visible in the cold night air. The tension between them was palpable, unspoken words lingering in the silence as they waited. This is it, Celeste whispered, her eyes fixed on the building. If we pull this off, Kane's operation crumbles. Nate glanced at her, his chest tightening. And if we don't? She didn't look at him. We don't have that option. He wanted to argue, to make her see how reckless this had all become, but the determination in her voice silenced him. She was committed, and he knew there was no turning back now. All he could do was try to keep her alive. As they watched, a convoy of black SUVs pulled up to the warehouse, their headlights slicing through the darkness. Men poured out, armed and alert, their movements efficient and deliberate. Nate's stomach sank at the sight. This wasn't a simple shipment. This was a fortress. There's too many, he whispered. Celeste, we can't take them all. We're not going to, she replied, pulling a small bag from her side. She unzipped it to reveal a set of explosives. We just need to destroy the shipment. Nate stared at her, his eyes wide. Explosives? Are you serious? It's the only way, she said, her voice firm. I'll plant them inside while you cover me. No, he said, grabbing her arm. It's too dangerous. If they see you. They won't, she interrupted, her gaze fierce. I've done this before. Celeste, he began, but she shook her head. This is the endgame, Nate. I need you to trust me. He wanted to fight her, to demand they find another way, but the resolve in her eyes stopped him. He nodded reluctantly. Okay. But if anything goes wrong, we get out. No heroics. She gave him a faint smile, the closest thing to softness he'd seen in days. Deal. The plan unfolded with a tense precision. While Celeste moved toward the warehouse under the cover of darkness, Nate kept watch from their hiding spot. His heart pounded as he scanned the area, his grip tightening on the pistol Celeste had insisted he carry. Every shadow, every movement, set his nerves on edge. Inside the warehouse, Celeste moved with practiced ease, her every step deliberate and silent. She found the crates marked for shipment, their labels matching the files they'd stolen. As she placed the explosives, her mind raced with thoughts of Ryan. This was for him. Every risk, every sacrifice was for the brother she'd lost. But as she finished setting the last charge, a voice behind her made her freeze. "Well, well," the man said, his tone dripping with amusement. If it isn't Celeste Vaughn, She turned slowly, her heart sinking as Victor Kane stepped out of the shadows, flanked by two armed men. His sharp suit and confident smirk were exactly as she remembered. He clapped slowly, his eyes gleaming with malice. "I have to admit," he said, "I underestimated you. You've been a thorn in my side for far too long." "Then maybe you should have killed me when you had the chance," Celeste replied, her voice steady despite the fear coiling in her chest. Kane chuckled. "Oh, I considered it. But where's the fun in that? Watching you flail around, thinking you could take me down, it's been entertaining." Outside, Nate heard the faint sound of voices and cursed under his breath. Something was wrong. He crept closer to the warehouse, his pulse racing, and peered through a window. His stomach dropped at the sight of Kane confronting Celeste. "Nate, don't," he whispered to himself, but his feet were already moving. He couldn't leave her. Inside, Kane stepped closer to Celeste, his smile fading. "You've caused enough trouble. Time to end this." Before he could signal his men, a gunshot rang out. One of Kane's guards collapsed and chaos erupted. Nate burst into the room, his pistol raised, and fired at the second guard, who fell with a grunt. Kane turned, his face twisting with fury. "You brought a boyfriend? How sweet." "Nate, get out of here," Celeste shouted, but he ignored her, keeping his weapon trained on Kane. "Let her go," Nate demanded, his voice trembling. "It's over, Kane." Kane laughed, a cold, hollow sound. "You really think you can walk out of here alive? Do you know who I am?" "I know exactly who you are," Nate said, his finger tightening on the trigger. But Kane was faster. He lunged toward Celeste, grabbing her and using her as a shield. "Go ahead," he taunted. "Shoot me. Let's see if you're willing to risk her life." "Nate, don't," Celeste said, her voice shaking. "You'll hit me." The room was a standoff, the air thick with tension. Celeste's mind raced as she tried to think of a way out. The explosives. If she could trigger them. Her eyes met Nate's, and in that moment he understood. She gave him the faintest nod, and his heart shattered. "No," he whispered, but Celeste was already moving. She reached into her pocket, pulling out the detonator, and pressed the button. The explosion rocked the warehouse, the force of it throwing Nate backward. Flames roared around him as he scrambled to his feet, his ears ringing. "Celeste," he shouted, his voice hoarse. He stumbled through the smoke and debris, searching desperately. Finally, he found her, crumpled on the ground near the burning crates. Her eyes fluttered open as he knelt beside her, his hands trembling. "Celeste," he said, his voice breaking. "Stay with me." She gave him a weak smile, her hand reaching for his. "It's okay," she whispered. "It's over." Tears streamed down Nate's face as he cradled her in his arms. "No, no. You can't leave me. Not like this." Her gaze softened, and she cupped his cheek with her hand. "You saved me, Nate. Even if I didn't deserve it. You deserved so much more," he choked out, his heart breaking. Her hand fell limp, and her eyes closed for the last time. Nate clung to her, his sobs echoing in the burning warehouse as the weight of everything crushed him. When the authorities arrived, the flames had mostly died down, leaving behind smoldering ruins. Nate didn't resist as they led him away, his mind numb. Celeste was gone, but her fight, her pain, and her love would stay with him forever. In the end, they had brought Kane's empire crashing down. But the cost was a life Nate could never replace, leaving him with nothing but memories and a hollow ache where his heart used to be. Epilogue. A quiet redemption. Months passed since the warehouse fire, but the memories refused to fade. Nate sat on a wooden bench overlooking the Mississippi River, the winter wind biting against his face. The world had moved on, but he remained trapped in the past, haunted by the echoes of that night. Celeste's name had been buried beneath the headlines of Victor Kane's downfall. The media praised the anonymous whistleblower who had exposed his operation, but Nate knew the truth. She had been the force behind it all, the one who sacrificed everything to make sure Kane's empire crumbled. After the fire, Nate had been questioned by the authorities. He told them enough to point them in the right direction but left out the details of Celeste's involvement. He couldn't let her memory be tainted by the crime she'd committed. To him, she was more than the mistakes she made. She was the woman who had saved him as much as he tried to save her. Now, sitting in the cold, he felt the weight of her loss pressing down on him like a stone. He pulled a small notebook from his coat pocket, the same one he'd carried the night they first met. Inside were sketches of her, drawn from memory. Her piercing green eyes, her enigmatic smile, the fire that had burned so brightly within her. "You'd hate this," he murmured, running a finger over the page. "Me sitting here wallowing. You'd tell me to get up and do something, and she would have been right." Celeste hadn't fought so hard for him to waste the life he still had. She had given him a second chance, and he owed it to her to make it count. In the weeks that followed, Nate began to piece his life back together. He sold his apartment and moved to a smaller city, far from the shadows of New Orleans. He started volunteering at a community center, teaching art to kids who had lost their way. It was a small gesture, but it felt like a step toward redemption, a way to honor Celeste's memory by helping others find their own path. One evening, as he cleaned the brushes in the center's small art studio, a young girl approached him, holding up a sketch she'd made. "Do you think this is good?" she asked shyly. Nate looked at the drawing, a delicate portrait of a woman with fiery eyes. His chest tightened as he recognized the spark of determination in the girl's lines. "It's beautiful," he said, his voice thick. "You've got talent." The girl beamed, and Nate felt a flicker of something he hadn't felt in months. Hope. Years later, as Nate stood before a crowd at the opening of his first gallery exhibit, he reflected on how far he'd come. The exhibit, titled Breath of Shadows, was a collection of pieces inspired by his time with Celeste. Each painting told a story of pain, of love, of sacrifice, of a woman who had given her life for something greater than herself. As the guests wandered the gallery, admiring the artwork, Nate felt a sense of peace he hadn't thought possible. He would never forget Celeste. Her memory was etched into every brushstroke, every line. But he had learned to carry her with him, not as a burden, but as a beacon. In the end, Celeste had taught him the most important lesson of all. Life, no matter how fleeting or painful, was worth fighting for. And he would spend the rest of his days doing just that, for her, for Ryan, and for himself. As he gazed out the gallery window at the setting sun, Nate whispered the words he wished he could have told her one last time. "Thank you, Celeste. For everything." The sun dipped below the horizon, and for the first time in a long while, Nate allowed himself to smile.